Welcome to the Catholic Man Show. We're on the Lord's team, the winning side, so raise your glass. I'm your host, Adam Minahan, in studio today with my bud and co-host, David Niles.
Howdy, y'all.
And we're so glad that you tuned in to the seventh episode of the Catholic Man Show.
Big number seven.
Which is a lucky number.
It's a perfect number.
Perfect and lucky number. Biblically speaking, perfect number. Casino speaking, lucky number.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I'd say that's true.
So we're going to have a heck of a show for you guys today.
Man, I can't wait.
So this is a new show. If you guys can't tell, Dave and I really don't belong behind these mics, but here we are.
Yeah, we still have that whole amateur feel. It feels awfully amateur from my side of the microphone anyway.
Yes, absolutely. Mine too.
But it's good.
But it's fun.
Yeah.
We have a great time, and we're getting some pretty good feedback,
and
surprisingly.
You know what? We don't edit this show at all.
No, we just hit record and go.
We hit the button, and what we get is what we play.
Yep. So you guys are welcome.
Yeah.
I'm so glad you guys are tuning in, though. We're broadcasted on St. Michael Radio in Tulsa, Oklahoma. But if you guys listened to the last episode, we now are part of the family of Breadbox Media.
So we're national.
So we are national because Breadbox Media is a national Catholic internet streaming service.
I don't know if this is how they put it, but they're kind of like an alternative Catholic radio, you know, not the usual standard Catholic radio things. Mm-hmm. You know, they kind of branch out, spread the nets a little bit wider instead of focusing just on apologetics.
Right.
They've got other things too.
Yeah, and it's pretty cool. They have an app. You can go to breadboxmedia.com and you can look at all of the other hosts and shows that they have. One of the hosts, Allison Gingras from Reconciled to You. That's her show. It's called Reconciled to You.
Mm-hmm.
She's been a fan of our show since she started listening and has kind of been pushing us on Facebook. So Allison, thank you very much. We appreciate it.
No, yeah, thanks. Thanks, Allison.
I'm the one.
You looked at me and it's like, you got to say something. And I was just thinking, well, you said it really good. I don't know.
Well, I'm the one that does all the Facebook and social media, so he didn't really know.
But I think Allison is awesome.
I actually started listening to her podcast, which I suggest everybody listen to. Reconciled to You is what it's called. And you can go to breadboxmedia.com and look it up.
I'll check it out with the rest of our listeners.
Yeah. So welcome to all new listeners. We appreciate you guys checking us out. Here's kind of how the Catholic...
I'm going to cut you off. Before we continue, I think we need to give out the warning so that our lawyers don't get mad.
Yes. So first of all, I just apologize to the listeners up front for not getting this out of the way sooner.
So you need to be warned. If you are listening to this show and you are someone who is susceptible to high levels of manliness, then you need to stop what you're doing right now and do something else, okay? Because this show will be harmful to your health. Mm-hmm. You could be injured in ways that are not necessarily apparent to you right off the bat, but that could have devastating consequences that play out over the rest of your life.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this could be like the downfall and you just crater.
And which we don't want. But, you know, we flex our muscles.
We only want good things for our listeners.
Right. We pick up heavy things and put it back down.
Mm-hmm.
We may even shave in between segments. I mean, we do some manly things.
Yeah. Shoot guns.
Yeah, maybe.
Into the air.
I don't advise that at all.
In safe directions.
Yeah, I don't advise that at all. Okay, so now that we got that out of the way and we kind of teetered on whether that was legal or not.
Survey says... not legal. Okay.
Okay.
Don't do that.
Don't do that.
Nix that idea.
But so we are thankful for you guys tuning in. This is a new show, like we said. Dave.
And we're getting a lot of new listeners all the time.
Yes. Surprisingly.
It is surprising.
But we're grateful.
I'm super grateful.
Yeah.
I'm continue to be surprised.
And amazed. But yeah, so Dave, give our new listeners who are maybe just tuning in for the first time kind of a brief rundown of what the show is.
Because I will.
They can also go back and podcast our old stuff to listen.
I highly recommend it.
Right. But give them an idea of what we do here.
Okay. So we break the show down into three segments, so to speak. The first segment is about a manly beverage.
Which you're listening to right now.
This is the first segment.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to get to our manly beverage here in just a second. The next segment, the next part, is about a man gear of some kind. Man gear. You know, like... things every man needs. And it's not just about, oh, let's talk about manly stuff. We want to break it down and talk about the philosophy behind these manly things. So why is this a manly thing? Mm-hmm. What about this gear exemplifies manhood? Mm-hmm. You know, that's what the man gear is about. And then the third thing is we take the virtue, we try to tie it all together. Sometimes it's more obvious than others. The man gear, whatever virtue it exemplifies, we have a discussion on that topic.
Right, which is a very extremely manly topic.
Yeah, so today it's connection, but yeah. You just have to, you know, use your imagination a little bit.
Sometimes. We're not super creative, so hence the Catholic Man Show.
That's the title of this show.
So anyway, so let's go ahead and let's get into segment one, which is the man beverage.
The man beverage.
So what Dave and I do every show, we highlight and showcase.
I'm gonna cheat and open mine now.
Okay, go ahead. We highlight and showcase a man beverage. Sometimes it's whiskey, sometimes it's beer.
We still need to do a mixed.
Yeah, we still need
drink.
To do a mixed drink. But this one is a beer that Dave picked out, and I'm super excited to try it. Dave, tell him what it is.
Okay, so this is Lagunitas. If you're a beer man, you probably know Lagunitas because they make a lot of really good beer. This one is their Undercover Investigation Shutdown Ale. I read some of the history and apparently they got in trouble for something. I don't know what happened, but they got shut down for like 20 days. And
this is what they brewed during that time.
I think like it was unjustly so, mm-hmm. You know. So they brewed this beer in revolt to stick it to the man, mm-hmm. saying, this is what you get for shutting us down. We brewed a special beer, and it is delicious.
It's limited release.
Limited release. It's 9.5% alcohol, so it's a stronger beer. Mm-hmm. So you don't need three of them.
No, just one will suffice.
It'll suffice for me tonight.
Yes. So we always cheers. We do a cheers to Jesus hashtag.
Yeah, we always cheers to Jesus.
Right, because that's just something that we need to start doing.
And
because
he's the man.
Right. So without further ado, we're on the Lord's team.
The winning side. So raise your glass. Cheers to Jesus.
Cheers to Jesus. Very nice. Very nice
Isn't
beer.
Isn't that good?
Very nice beer.
So I just went to the liquor store, mm-hmm. and I had that I have no idea what I really want look on my face.
Right.
And so the guy came over and he's like, hey, what do you want? And I said, I don't know. I want something good. Mm-hmm. And so he had me try this one because it's a limited release. In fact, I think it's only available through June. So if you want to try this one, you got to go get it right now. Mm-hmm. And I brought it home, had one. It was fantastic. And I had people over and I was like, you guys have to try this beer. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden I realized I didn't have any more. So the next day, I went back and got more, and that guy saw me. He goes, you must really like that beer. And I said, yeah. The only problem was I had to share too many of them. Okay? And so now I need to get more.
So, I mean, it's a like caramel color brown ale. It's, you know, for actually having, what did it say, 9.5% alcohol, it really doesn't have a
There's no burn,
no bite. It's a very good beer. I enjoy it. But you know, ales, pale ales, like that's kind of my thing anyway. That's mm-hmm. that's in my niche of beers.
Your wheelhouse.
Yeah.
Your beer house.
But yeah, it's really good. I enjoy it.
Yeah, so and it's not heavy. You know, I could drink this after mowing the yard.
Yeah, it is not heavy at all. In fact, it's a lot less heavy than our last beer, our black double IPA. Mm-hmm. That
one was fantastic.
It was really good, but it was a lot thicker than this one.
Yeah, so this is like just a good beer. Even someone who says, oh, I don't really like beer, may like this beer. This is a good one to have on hand, or beers like this one, because you could offer it to just about anybody. Mm-hmm. An inexperienced beer drinker would enjoy it, and we all know the beer. Everybody has a beer snob
friend. Well, and because it's a limited release, it's like, hey, check my beer out. You know, this is not something you can get every day.
Right, exactly. So, but there's plenty of ales.
There's a novelty to it.
Ales kind of in this, you know, in this category. Mm-hmm. But this one is just, I found it to be worthy of consuming.
Yes. So,
which is why it's on our man show.
Okay, so real quick, Dave, because we got to get to break, but tell them really, really fast, you know,
why are we drinking?
Why are we
beer?
Drinking? Why? Because there's people on the show right now that are listening. They're probably like, what are these guys doing?
These guys drinking on air?
Yes. Yeah,
so, yes, we
yes,
are.
We are.
We are. That's exactly what we're doing.
Yes.
No, but we drink. We have a man beverage because it's not about getting drunk at all. It's about enjoying the finer things in life, mm-hmm. enjoying God's creation mm-hmm. for the goodness that it possesses.
Right.
We only drink good beverages here on The Man Show, mm-hmm. things that we enjoy. And so because we enjoy them, they should be enjoyed.
Right.
In moderation.
Yeah, and
appropriate.
See, that's the thing.
There's nothing wrong with having a beer.
Yeah, nothing wrong with having a beer, but if you don't learn moderation somewhere, you're not going to learn moderation at all.
In fact, if you don't know moderation, you're not a man.
Right, exactly. So that's why we're providing this for you guys, you know, as a rule stick of here's how you do moderation.
Yeah. So we got to go to break.
Okay.
You're listening to The Catholic Man Show with Adam Minahan and David Niles. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side, so raise your glass.
We'll be right back. Welcome back to The Catholic Man Show with Adam Minahan and David Niles. I'm David Niles. We're on the Lord's team, the winning side, so raise your glass. I just had a fantastic commercial break. I don't know why. It was just amazing.
Well, it's probably because you did like 30 push-ups.
With one hand.
With one hand.
Right.
While I was doing chin-ups.
We should really videotape ourselves sometime.
I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that.
Okay. What if?
So, guys, we're...
That's why I learned to do one-handed push-ups, is so that I can selfie with the other hand.
I don't know how manly really that is. Like, selfies, like, in general, I don't know how really manly selfies are.
You're right. But that was sarcasm, so...
Okay, good.
I feel
we
okay
We were just
with
testing
just
you,
yeah.
audience. We were just testing
yeah,
you.
Yeah, if you thought I was serious...
Yeah.
You lose 2 points.
Yep.
Two points.
Two manly points. And we're keeping count.
Yes. So, we gotta get right to it.
Yes.
Our man gear today. Adam, tell them what it is.
Our man gear is the wristwatch.
Boom.
Because every man needs a wristwatch.
I agree.
But here's the deal. Actually, if I had it to say over again, I would say actually everybody needs a pocket watch. But we don't dress formal enough to have a pocket watch anymore.
I have worn a pocket watch in the last year.
You have?
Yes.
See, I've only worn one once, and it's for a wedding.
I like to dress well to mm-hmm. work. Mm-hmm. I like to respect my... And so, like, I had a three-piece suit on, and I said, boom, I'm wearing my pocket watch.
Embarrassingly, I got to tell you, I don't even own a pocket watch.
It was a gift. I was in my cousin's wedding. I was a groomsman, and he got us all pocket watches.
Okay, that makes sense.
It's not embarrassing to not own a pocket watch.
I mean, I just...
It's kind of weird to own one.
Well, because you just can't use it very often. I wish we could. I would wear... Like, if we all dressed more formally... I would wear one all the time.
I'd let you use mine, but it has my initials on it.
Yeah, I don't want to anyway.
Yeah,
okay, so...
The wristwatch.
The wristwatch. And Dave, why the wristwatch?
Okay, punctuality is a big thing in life, guys.
Listen up, millennials.
Yeah. And I'm pretty sure I'm a millennial. It's hard to say.
Yeah, we are.
I'm not 30 yet, so I think I'm a millennial.
I'm not. I'm 30 now. So I'm talking about, like, you youngins.
You old man. But anyway, punctuality for me is a big thing. Growing up, mm-hmm. we were always the late family.
Right.
We had, so you know, there were four kids in our family, but I'm not really sure that's why. We were just always 5 minutes late. Mm-hmm. And so when I started driving, I said, I'm never going to be late for anything. Mm-hmm. And really, that's something that I did pretty well because I decided, boom, I'm ready. Let's go. Mm-hmm. If you are late, if you're a person who is late, and I know this...
Habitually
yeah,
late.
If you're like a late person, I feel like I cannot trust you. Mm-hmm. And I know there's like a big gap here between, okay, this person is always a few minutes late, and this person is not trustworthy, mm-hmm. okay? But this is like something it's inside of me that... It's like, listen, you told me you were going to be here at 5 o'clock. Mm-hmm. You were not here at 5 o'clock. You lied to me.
Right.
Don't do that.
And there's always exceptions, but I agree. Like, listen.
Yeah, we're talking about the, this person's always 5 minutes late. It's not right. like, oh, there was a car accident, you know, right. and I was held up, you know, that stuff happens.
Right.
That's not what we're talking about. Right. But the wristwatch, it's a, first of all, it looks good. It's a good look.
Yes. And I've had the same wristwatch for about like 4 years now.
Me too.
And it is like, I'm not.
No, I've had mine for like 6 or 7 years.
And I'm not planning on, like, as long as it's still going, I'm not doing anything.
I mean, I put a new battery in mine not too long ago.
Mine, I don't even have to have a battery.
So mine was $12 from Target, and I get compliments on it all the time.
Hmm.
It looks good.
I have a Seiko watch that my grandma bought me for Christmas.
You know, if you spend money on a watch, it'll last you your lifetime.
Right.
But you don't have to.
Right. That's the one That's one, like, mine is a nice watch, but my grandma bought it for me for Christmas, and dude, it's a nice Seiko watch. I get compliments on it all the time.
I got my wife a watch for Christmas. You know, it's solar powered.
Yes. Oh,
so
nice.
Every now and then she'll not wear it for
a few days, and then
it lasts over a month.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes, like when she's pregnant, I think she just doesn't wear it as much.
Right.
And so you got to leave it in the sun for a few hours, and then it charges right back up. But
So watches initially were wristwatches were female for females.
Yes, yeah.
Which when we were looking this up, we were like, ugh,
I don't know if that's a good man gear.
However, listen to this, Dave. Wristwatches were first worn like by women, but it became popular by men because they were first worn by military men towards the end of the 19th century. When the importance of synchronizing maneuvers during a war without potentially revealing the plan to the enemy through signaling was increasingly recognized. I mean, that right there is...
It's pretty manly.
That's pretty manly. So it is clear that pocket watches, while in the heat of battle and while mounted on a horse, was impractical, obviously. I mean, think about that.
Yeah, I mean, if I've got bullets flying at me...
Right.
I don't have time to, like...
If you're on a horse, you have a gun, whatever.
Like, let me set my gun down and pull out my pocket watch.
Right. So, I mean, officers started strapping watches to their wrist, and then it caught on. So, that is why it's manly.
Sweet.
And I advise every man to get one. I mean, I know cell phones, like, you know, cell phones are kind of trying to take the place of...
You got a watch on the cell phone, sure, but, but not the same.
It's not the same. So,
especially when you're dressing to look nice.
Right, exactly.
I have the watch I have, it's silver, you know, so it's kind of shiny.
Mm-hmm.
When I put on a suit and tie, it really finishes the look really well.
Right. I agree.
Yeah.
So, now that you guys know what the man gear of the week is, a watch. I would prefer it to be a pocket watch, but it's a wrist watch. Because that's just the day and age that we live in.
And there's no one specific one that we have to recommend today. There are just too many to recommend. And
we asked,
the ones that are super sweet that we would want to promote, they're like $400, you know?
Right. And I mean, I asked them, like Citizen and things like that, like, hey, will you guys give us a watch to promote? And for some reason, they said no.
They're lost.
Yeah.
They're lost.
So they lost there. So anyway, we're going to wrap this up because on the other side of this break, Dave, we have a very manly, important topic we
Big
have
time.
To get to.
Big time.
So you guys need to stick around.
We're on the Lord's team, the winning side.
So raise your glass.
We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. We're on the Lord's team, the winning side.
So raise your glass.
I'm Adam Minahan with David Niles, and we're so glad you stuck through the break because we have a sweet topic.
We're going to lay it down pretty heavy.
Yeah, it's going to be a little thicker than normal. We don't typically like get into deep theological topics. We kind of like, you know, skim. But tonight...
I don't know, dude. We've gone pretty deep. A couple times. Mary, we nailed...
Yes, that's true.
We hit Mary.
I mean, I'm not calling us Scott Hahn or anything.
No, well, no.
I mean, we're no Jimmy Akins, Tim Staples.
And we went through the whole Mass in the last episode.
Yeah. By the way, you guys got to check that out.
That was sweet, what we did.
Andrew DeJoseph, one of our loyal listeners up in New Jersey, his mind was blown.
Yeah, he sent us a message saying, like, that was the coolest thing I'd ever heard.
Yeah.
That may have been a direct quote. It was either direct or close to direct.
So to recap the show thus far, if you're just
halfway,
in,
we just crossed the halfway mark. Yeah,
we're enjoying some Lagunitas, some limited release.
I cannot tell you how much I love this beer.
It's a really good beer. Some Lagunitas is called Undercover Investigation Shutdown Ale, and it is a.
It's just a solid beer.
It is, Dave. Tell us what's your favorite part about it.
Okay, so I was telling Adam over the break. My first impression when I sipped this beer the first time was caramel. Adam had a different first impression, but it's not a overwhelmingly caramel flavor, but for whatever reason, mm-hmm. that's just the flavor that stands out to me.
Mm-hmm. My initial reaction was this has a lot of flavor, but it's still light.
Mm-hmm.
I gotta tell you guys.
Yeah, just do
I gotta
it.
Tell you.
Just say it.
I'm a beer snob.
You are not.
I'm a beer snob. I don't like.
You're an IPA snob, is what you are.
I don't like Bud Light anymore. I don't like Coors Light.
I know,
like,
dude.
I mean, I don't like these light beers anymore.
Do you remember
at
in
all.
College, if someone showed up with a case of Bud Light, people looked around like, dang, whose birthday is it?
Yeah, or like, who's the rich guy bringing in
Bud Light, the good stuff?
Yeah. Yeah, but now, I mean, it's almost like if you offered it to me, I'd be like, nah, I'm good.
I had a Bud Light this last weekend.
Yeah.
And it wasn't good.
No. So I enjoy this
and
beer.
We can totally rag on Bud Light now that they're a Brazilian company.
InBev, yeah.
Yeah.
But so I enjoy and I appreciate beers that are like flavorful, yet still
made to be delicious, not made in mass quantities.
Correct. So that's one of the things that I like. So
I like it. I like it too.
So that's what we're enjoying here this evening.
The gear was the watch,
mm-hmm. which
we just talked about.
Yeah, which we just talked about.
Be prompt.
So now, Dave. Oh, hold on. Before we dive into the topic, we gotta do our due diligence here and talk about social media and our website really quick.
Yeah. Okay.
Because we have a Facebook page.
And a pretty cool website, if I say so.
It's a sweet website. Our buddies over at Blueprint Media, Blueprint Advertising.
Who do it all for free.
Yeah, they do it all for us. You know, Chris
Porter,
Ryan.
I don't know why they do it for free, but
because
they
believe in us. And they believe in what we're doing.
That's a good speech.
They really do. And they've told me that. And
I feel like you're a coach.
They're good Christian guys. And
we're doing this because we believe in you.
Because we believe in us.
And you gotta believe in yourselves.
Yes, and we're not gonna stop until we get across that goal line.
That's right.
So
who's with me?
Oh, we just redid our website. We did.
You mean they redid our website?
Yes. Yeah. They redid our website for us. But it's a really nice looking website. And
I agree.
You know, it's all integrated with our Facebook page. Go in there, check us out on Facebook. We have a Twitter page. We have an Instagram page. You know, all you have to do is look up each one on The Catholic Man Show, and you'll check us out. You can also stream us online and check us out on Breadbox Media, because they're
our
new
podcasts.
Family. Yeah, you can get our podcast now. So, I mean, guys, I don't know if you know this, but we are legit.
It's true. Somehow it happened.
I was telling my wife, like, listen, Haley, we're legit. And she was like, no, Adam, you're not legit. And I was like, no, let me tell you, we're legit.
We're too legit to quit.
Yeah, so, and we're not going to quit. So
we couldn't do it.
Okay. So now that we got our to-dos checked, let's get to the topic, because this is one that needs to be talked about, and
it needs to be talked about.
And when I read a couple articles that kind of stimulated this idea, and I sent them over to you, and you were like, yes, this is something that has to be.
Well,
done.
This topic I've been a big advocate for a long time.
I knew it was going to be easy. I mean.
It was an easy sell.
Easy
it was almost like you set me up.
Right. So hook, line, and sinker.
Yeah. It's like, what do you think about this, Dave?
Yeah.
It's like, yes, that's a great idea.
Yeah. So Dave, tell them.
Okay.
It is.
So we're going to talk about NFP today, natural family planning. This is why,
guys, don't freak out.
Don't freak out, because
we'll be okay.
We've got some great statistics for you. Okay. My parents have been natural family planning teachers, I don't know, since I was in middle school. I believe that they were the first natural family planning teachers in the state. That could be incorrect. I could be lying, but I believe that to be correct.
Okay.
But I'm willing to be corrected.
That's a good disclaimer.
If I'm not correct.
That's a good disclaimer.
So from like a little boy, I've learned all about NFP and why it's important. And there are way too many things about NFP for us to cover today. So we're going to talk about a few of them.
Right.
First, what is it? Natural family planning is a way, it's fertility awareness is really what it is. What you do is you say, us as men, we look at our wives in all of their beauty and we learn about them and their fertility. So it's a way of monitoring physical signs, biological signs that a woman goes through throughout her cycles to determine if or not she is fertile.
Dave, don't you think that in the past, people, men especially, have thought like, oh, this is just a woman's thing. I don't have to worry about this.
Oh, sure. And people still today think, oh, that's just the rhythm method.
Mm-hmm.
The rhythm method used to be a thing like in 1902, which it was something like, oh, don't have sex for 7 days after her period and you probably won't get pregnant. And for many women, that was probably true. Probably. But had a very, very low success rate. Mm-hmm. So this is not the rhythm method. This is actually incredibly scientific. So what you do is you say, and I said, if a woman is fertile, what I really meant was if she's ovulating. So if she is able to conceive at that moment.
Mm-hmm.
And if she's not, then you know scientifically that no pregnancy will result tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Not going to happen. Not going to.
Yeah.
Wouldn't be prudent at this juncture. So that's NFP. That's what it is.
Right.
And when you're practicing it, you have charts and you have your wife and you, the husband and the wife, chart together.
How important is it to make sure that both parties are involved?
Oh, so crucial. In fact, it just opens up whole lines of communication, which is a result for other, some of the, which is a, plays a huge role in some of the other statistics that I hope we have time to get to later on.
So if we don't have time to get to all this, let's give them a couple resources right now.
CCLI.org.
Right. So write this down, guys, because this is good information. CCLI.org.
.org. That's the couple-to-couple league. Mm-hmm. There's two different main branches of NFP. There is symptom only, and then there's symptothermal, symptoms and temperature. Couple-to-couple league is symptothermal. There's another one called Billings Method, and their website is something BOMA, B-O-M-A, the Billings Ovulation Method Association.
Okay.
And if you type in BOMA, you'll find it.
Okay.
Just Google it.
Okay.
If
you're looking for a book, one that I recommend that I've heard, and actually, I got to be honest with you guys, I haven't read it yet, but it is on my to-read list, but it is by Patrick Coffin, who is the host of Catholic Answers Live, one of my, like, you know,
idols,
fans. Like, I mean, I did.
Adam, are you drooling?
No, I'm not drooling. But I mean, Dave, tell them what they did. What Patrick did say.
So I was talking to Patrick Coffin over the summer. Okay, I'm having a private conversation with him.
It was not private
on the radio for everyone to listen to. And I said, like, hey, I think you met my buddy Adam. And he goes, oh, yeah. He said something to the effect of, he highly contributed to my sanctity. And I don't know what he meant by that.
Yeah, he either meant I was super annoying and
he's
like,
I had to put up with that guy for like 2 days.
Or that, like, I just, like, illuminated holiness.
Or your very presence.
Right.
Yeah, affected him. Yeah, we'll let the listeners decide which one it probably
Option two. Option two. Option two is the answer. So, but
let us know on our Facebook page which one you think it is.
But he has a book. Patrick Coffin has a book called Sex All Natural.
And no, Sex Au Naturel.
Right.
Okay. Not all natural.
I didn't say
you gotta
it that
say
way.
It right. You got to say it right.
He's Canadian, so.
We forgive him. Anyway, let's keep going.
Yeah.
We're on a time crunch. We got to be punctual on this episode.
Right.
So, why even bother with NFP? One reason is that birth control is absolutely terrible for women. A couple things that it does. For a woman who takes birth control regularly before her first pregnancy, her likelihood of getting breast cancer goes up significantly. Okay? I'm not going to quote any specific numbers today because there have been studies and they come up with different numbers, but all of them are over 50% increase. So if you had a 10% chance of getting it, now you've got at least a 15% chance of getting it. However, for women who were in the class of high likelihood, like if it had a, if breast cancer runs in your family and there's mm-hmm. a strong family link to breast cancer, 100% of those women who took the pill before their first child got breast cancer. So mm-hmm. that's just a caveat. The same was not true for the reason before or after your pregnancy happens is because when a woman becomes pregnant and when she gives birth, it's not like, oh, you were pregnant. It has to be full-term pregnancy. When a woman gives birth, her breast tissue changes and matures.
Mm-hmm.
A woman, even a 60-year-old woman who has never had a child, her breast tissue never matured. Mm-hmm. Okay, and so matured breast tissue is not affected in the same way by birth control, the pill, as other breast tissue. So that's one reason. It makes your body think you're pregnant. And if you are on, if a woman is on birth control for a number of years, she may have an incredibly difficult time achieving pregnancy when she actually wants to. The list goes on and on. But men who are listening to me right now, it is your duty to make sure that there are no women in your house taking birth control, not from a moral standpoint, but from a biological standpoint. There's nothing morally wrong with a teenage girl taking birth control to clear up her acne. There's not a moral decision here, because that's okay morally. But biologically, I guarantee you, doctors who prescribe birth control do not know what it is that they're prescribing and all of the harmful effects, because it's one of those things that just everybody does it. Mm-hmm. You know, in fact, get on YouTube and watch some YouTube videos. You can find doctors who say, I've been doing this for years. Nobody told me.
Mm-hmm.
And it's shocking. Anyway,
Jason Everett's done a good job of revealing all of that.
Yeah, it really is crazy. So that's all I've got to say right now
about that.
About its unhealthy.
You know what's weird, Dave, is that a lot of Christians, all Christians, not just a lot, but all Christians, used to be against birth control.
That's crazy. Yeah, that's true. Until like the 1920s.
1930, and then the Anglicans came together and they had a conference and approved birth control under limited circumstances.
Yeah, like, because a woman was going to die, you know, it was that same.
Yeah,
it had to be a very severe
reason. And I don't remember off the top of my head what it was, but I do remember it's 1930, because I did look that up. It was 1930. The Anglicans approved it for a very specific reason, and mm-hmm. it was like the crack in the dam. It was like the floodgates then just opened up.
Yeah, and within a matter of years, it
now
was widespread.
Yeah, because now the only
Anglican
church...
community.
Well, the Christian community.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, now the only...
Denomination after denomination followed suit.
The only Christians that are now standing up saying birth control is not right...
Is the Catholic Church.
Is the Catholic Church. And they're standing alone.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, there are some that are now coming back because they're starting to realize
the effects. But
it's tough
to call them denominations. It's just
right.
A preacher at a church,
right.
Maybe.
But they're starting to realize the effects of birth control right. and coming back and saying...
As a denomination, none of them have come back.
Right. But
it's just the non-denominational, oh, maybe this one preacher is against birth control.
Because they start realizing and they start doing some research on the effects of this.
Or they read the story of Onan from the Old Testament.
That could be as well.
God killed that guy. I'm just saying.
Okay, so we got
killed that guy.
We got to wrap this up because we still have a lot to cover.
We got to take one more commercial break mm-hmm. before we come back.
Yes.
You're listening to The Catholic Man Show with Adam Minahan and David Niles.
You guys got to stick because we have a very important thing we got to tell you this next episode, or this next segment.
We're on the Lord's team, the winning side.
So raise your glass.
We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show with Adam Minahan and David Niles. We're on the Lord's team, the winning side, so raise your glass. We're sitting here talking about NFP.
Drinking a nice ale.
Nice ale. Laying down some truth. Just evangelizing.
We're evangelizing today.
The world.
Buckle up.
Yeah, because we're on the internet.
Yeah. And
big deal. It's a
terrestrial
big deal.
Radio.
Terrestrial radio. Is that Breadbox?
That's...
We're on terrestrial?
St. Michael Radio.
Oh, do you just mean on the Earth radio?
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
You're welcome.
I like that.
Okay, so we're talking about NFP and, you know, as a man, what does it mean in a relationship as a husband to carry out NFP? So, Dave.
And NFP is not like, oh, it's like you're doing it. It's just like, this is what we're supposed... This is how a relationship is supposed to be.
Right, this is how God created it.
Yeah. To be about love between a man and a woman.
Yeah, procreative love.
Boom.
So, Dave, here's a common objection that I've heard.
Before you ask me this, do you know what the first commandment in the Bible is?
Yes, I do.
What?
To love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul.
No. Oh. I mean, chronologically.
Oh, to go forth and multiply.
Go forth and multiply. You know what that means? Oh, yeah.
I was like going to make a sound effect, and I was like, no.
Don't do it. No. Brown chicken, brown cow.
Yeah. You're welcome, Haley. I didn't do anything. I didn't say anything.
She's going to be so proud of you, man.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Anyway, what were you saying? Sorry.
So one of the common objections that I have, or that I've heard in discussions is,
okay,
Isn't NFP just like the Catholic form of birth control?
No.
Like, isn't it just like taking the pill, but the Catholic form, like to say, it's okay?
Yeah, so like this is a question that is difficult to answer at first until you really get your hands around it and you figure it out.
Believe me, I know.
Because I used to struggle with that question too. Like, well, really, what is the difference? And, you know, you have two things that end the same, that doesn't mean they are the same. Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's say you have two men who want to take care of their family. One guy goes out and gets a job. The other guy robs a bank.
So the ends don't justify the means?
They both come home with money for their family. But they're not the same thing. Mm-hmm. Okay, so just because the ends are the same doesn't mean the things themselves are the same.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so with birth control, essentially, you're sterilizing yourself. You're saying, God made me this way, and I'm thwarting the way God made me. The way God made me isn't good. I need to change it. Birth control is the only medication I know of that takes healthy working organisms,
mm-hmm.
a system that's working exactly the way it's supposed to, and changes it so that it doesn't work properly.
Right, isn't
it's
that weird?
It's intentionally breaking the system.
Isn't it weird that like we can get around and actually prescribe something that says something's not broken, we're actually going to,
yeah, it's
to
working,
give you something.
It's working great.
It's working
fantastic.
Great.
Fantastic.
So we're gonna
let's
give you something
it.
To break it.
Let's break it.
Yeah.
That's birth
That's
control.
That's weird.
Okay.
It's a weird mentality.
And for us, especially as Catholics, NFP is saying, okay, God designed a woman's body so that not every act of intercourse results in a pregnancy.
Mm-hmm.
Because pregnancy is only one good. You know, there are several goods of marriage. Fruitful or children are one of them, but also there's the good of the spouses, you know, so intimacy is more than just about having kids. It's also about developing this relationship with your wife and expressing a love for her that
it's
is unique.
Very intimate.
Okay. You don't express that love for anybody else.
Right.
That's how you get beat up.
Right.
But so not every act of intercourse is going to result in pregnancy. God made it that way. NFP simply says, all right, this is how God made us, and it respects the way God made us. We are called, John Paul II in
Evangelium Vitae.
Vitae called us to a responsible parenthood. We are not supposed to have as many children as physically possible.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you can do that. Maybe if you are very successful, you have money, you have means, and you both your parent, you know, you and your spouse are just the type of person who can handle a lot of children. Like, not everybody's the Duggars, okay?
Right.
Most people would go crazy if you had 15 kids.
Right.
But we're called to responsible parenthood. To what if having another kid meant you're going to have to share the food more now? So the kids you have now are going to have to eat less to afford, you know, that's not good.
Right.
You should avoid pregnancy at that point.
Right.
That doesn't mean you can sterilize yourself.
Right.
Okay.
I like how Timothy Putnam, who's a friend of ours but also has a show outside the walls on Breadbox Media.
And
also,
St. Michael Radio.
And St. Michael Radio. But he has 6 children. Mm-hmm. And he says, I'm halfway there to a big family.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah, they just had their 6 not too long ago.
Right, exactly.
Way to go, dude.
Yeah. Shout out to Timothy
In
Putnam.
In fact, the midwife, so they do home births. The midwife didn't make it. He had to deliver that baby.
He delivered the whole thing. Talk about manly.
Boom.
Timothy Putnam, you are manly.
You're the... That would be a manly moment. Like,
yeah.
You are the fruit of my loins. Can't imagine. Anyway, so it's not birth control. Birth control, it's like, you would never tell the woman, I would only love you if you get a nose job. If you change who you are, I would not accept everything about you. I don't love everything about you. You need to change yourself before I love you. That's what birth control says. I will only love you if you sterilize yourself.
Mm-hmm.
That is birth control.
It's selfish.
Literally, that's what it is.
It's selfish is what it is.
It's incredibly selfish. And that's why women who stop taking the pill report that they felt used while on the birth control pill. Mm-hmm. Okay? These are generalizations. I know not everybody feels that way. Okay?
Right.
Don't send us hate mail. We won't read it.
I will.
Okay. You can read it. You can tell me about the good ones. So NFP says, God, you are the author of life. You made us this way. We respect it. And we just want to work with that and work with you to help discern the right number of children.
Mm-hmm.
Not birth control. Mm-hmm. It's not the same thing. So
one of the things that I really like, just on a personal level, I'll get personal with you guys.
Do it.
Here's what I've enjoyed about NFP. Is anytime that you feel like that you're like a whole, like you're on the right track,
mm-hmm.
like that you,
oh, I've had those days,
you know, like you,
man,
you just feel like you,
good.
Yeah. You're just like, I'm holy right
Definitely
now.
Definitely the holiest person in the room.
Right. You know, you kind of feel that way.
I feel that way right now.
Right. It's just me and Dave. It's rude. Rude. But NFP, it reveals this hidden love affair. That's competing for the love that I have with my wife.
Right.
Which is this self-love.
Yeah.
It's a selfishness is mm-hmm. what it is. And what I like, here's the deal. NFP, like you have to sacrifice, which is a manly thing.
Mm-hmm. Right. So
abstinence
if
is a manly thing.
It's not the right time for a kid.
Right.
There's going to be about 5 to 7 days a month when you and your wife cannot be intimate with each other.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And all that does, like the selfishness and immaturity in your heart, when you have this marital abstinence, it brings to surface all of this stuff. And it brings to surface this, like, ooh, maybe I'm not as good as what I think I am.
Right.
You know, you go, you have abstinence for 5, 6, 7, 8 days. All of a sudden, some of the things that you thought you were so good at. May not be so good. You may not be doing so good.
Yeah, like, what happened?
Right. You know, a lot can change in 5 days.
No kidding.
So,
especially for the women, because when they ovulate, that's when their libido is the highest.
Right, exactly.
You know?
And you as a man have to say, if you can't, you know, if it's not...
Well, I mean, it's a mutual, you know, it's a mutual thing.
Absolutely.
And NFP, you know, allows for spontaneity and, like, maybe... Timothy Putnam, going back to him,
mm-hmm.
one of his quotes is, we have absolutely planned for every single one of our children at least 10 minutes beforehand. Like, maybe they changed their mind, you know?
Right. But it does. What it does is it brings to light some of the, you know, pride and mm-hmm. selfishness
yeah.
that you have. You know, that you wouldn't see, like, okay, anytime you sacrifice anything, what happens? It, like, brings you to the light some of the things that you struggle with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, something you love, whatever it is, chocolate, Mexican food, whatever it is, go without for a while.
I love Mexican food.
I do too. Dude, I could eat Mexican food every single day.
But not even Mexican.
Well, neither am I.
I wish I was.
But if you know, if you go without it, what happens
then
the next time?
Then you eat it and you're like, this is the best!
Right, exactly. And so, it just brings to light some of your weaknesses.
Okay, and just personally, this is true.
Mm-hmm.
having those 5 to 7 days a month is like
a little honeymoon.
That little engagement, you know, like period, you know, like days right before your marriage,
mm-hmm.
right before and then right afterwards is like a little honeymoon.
Mm-hmm.
When those 5 to 7 days are over, mm-hmm. it, I'm telling you, nothing is better.
Right. I agree.
The sky is bluer. Coffee tastes better.
The grass is greener.
Yeah. The air is literally fragrant. It's just like bursting in your nostrils on those days. Mm-hmm. Those days.
Right.
They are the best days.
Right. I agree.
That's all I got to say about that.
I could agree with you there.
So, it's just such a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's so good. And the studies, there's studies on these. There's actually been tons of studies on natural family planning. Because one of the things, many people may have heard this statistic, that the divorce rate for couples who practice NFP is around 5%. Drastically lower than the 50% that we see throughout
right.
the culture. And the 50% number, that's a little misleading too. That's not exact, not really that high, but we don't have time to get into that. Why is it 5%? Well, hard to say. It's, you know, a lot of the people who practice NFP are very solid. They're grounded in their Catholic faith.
Mm-hmm.
Not going to get divorced anyway. Okay.
Right.
But all the same, it does, it forces you and your wife to mm-hmm. have conversations. It opens up these new lines of communication and honesty.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden you have to work together. This is a team effort.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And so when you are relying on each other like this, it just really makes you count on each other.
And really, like, sacrifice is a manly thing.
Yeah.
It is. I mean, it boils down to sacrifice is a manly thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Man, if you're not sacrificing something for your wife once a week, you better start doing
it.
Give up a meal once a week for your wife. If you're mm-hmm. not doing anything else, you got no better ideas, do that one.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree.
Be a man.
So, man, this has flown by. I knew this was an important topic. I knew time would fly by, but it's over.
Oh, my gosh.
We're done. So, guys,
we'll just have to see you next week.
Yeah, see us next week. Check out our Facebook page, The Catholic Man Show. You can go to CatholicManShow.com. Check out our podcast on Breadbox Media, BreadboxMedia.com. Type in The Catholic Man Show. We've had a heck of a time. This has been so fun.
And it's fun because we're on the Lord's team.
And we're on the winning side.
So raise your glass.
We're Adam Minahan and David Niles. Tune in next week, Thursdays at 7 p.m.
Peace out.